WBNSFM.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus, The Fan. The Fan is live and local on Sunday morning. And if you're thinking this is another show talking about gambling and fantasy football rosters, you'd be 100% correct.
Will you teach me to football?
This is On the Money with Scotty Vegas and Dave Biddle.
Here we'll teach you to football.
Sponsored by Mobile Center, taking care of all your cellular needs. Mobile Center is now part of the 5G T-Mobile network. And Bud Light, America's favorite light lager.
Welcome to On the Money. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scott Prokop. We, of course, like to call him Scotty Vegas. We have producer Bodie Wells at the controls. This is a show about fantasy football and sports gambling and football in general. Scotty Vegas, my friend, how you doing this morning?
I'm good, and this is why sports are so great, Dave. This last week, I have gone through such a roller coaster of emotions in the last 7 days, right? From miserable last Saturday, losing to Michigan obviously was devastating, and then Sunday, I hit a nice parlay. I watched your Bengals. I was excited for your Bengals to get a huge win. So I was back up on Sunday, and then the OSU Duke basketball game. I mean, amazing on Tuesday night. So I was frustrated for the first 30 minutes of that game, and then in love the last 10 minutes. Ended up running on the court, jumping up and down and going crazy. And then I went back to a dark place yesterday watching Michigan win a Big Ten championship.
Very well said. Yeah, I woke up Sunday morning and, or even after we did the show last week, still just in doldrums. And then seeing the Bengals sweep the Steelers and really put it on them, I was like, wow, what a bizarro world we're living in, where Michigan beats Ohio State and the Bengals sweep the Steelers and in dominant fashion. And then you're right, the Ohio State went over Duke. Buckeyes down by 15, Duke number one in the country. The shot was rocking. Man, that was a lot of fun. And then yesterday, I'm thinking, I really don't feel like Iowa has much of a chance, but maybe they can keep it close. You never know what can happen, and Michigan blows the doors off of them. We're going to get into all of that. If you're on the Twitter machine, give us a follow, at OnTheMoney971, at OnTheMoney971 on Twitter. Our top story, so it looks like the college football playoff appears set. We're going to find out today, a little past noon. Usually it comes out about 12:10, 12:15. Usually we're sitting there to see where Ohio State is at, not this year. And it looks like it's set to me. Now, there is some debate if it's going to be Bama or Michigan number one. I think it'll be Bama, Michigan, Georgia, Cincinnati in that order. I don't think the committee wants a Bama-Georgia rematch right away. We'll see, though. I mean, Michigan could be number one, but I think it'll be Bama 1, Michigan 2, Georgia 3, Cincinnati 4. Regardless, those are going to be the four teams.
I'm with you 100%. You know what, Dave? You know, we went into yesterday thinking, oh, there could be some absolute chaos. And we have no idea how this selection committee is going to figure all this out. If Oklahoma State had won, you had that, and you had Alabama pulling off the upset win yesterday. There were so many question marks, and it was like, okay, this could be the year that the committee really has a hard time, and we have no idea what to expect. But we sit here on Sunday morning, couple hours till selection time, and we know the four teams, and I think we probably know the order, too. So it just, for some reason, it always seems to work out that the selection day isn't as dramatic as we think it'll be leading up to it.
Do we need expansion? And if so, how many teams?
I say yes. I and I know you disagree with me. I say yes, and I say 12. I say 12. And the reason why is yesterday was a lot of fun, right? We had a lot of these interesting games, and the Baylor and Oklahoma State game was interesting. But ultimately, it didn't really matter, right? That game didn't matter because the team's not going to make the playoff. And looking at Friday night's game, where Utah is a team that's really hot right now. Ohio State's going to see them here in about a month. But Utah's a team that I would like to see them have a shot in a 12-team playoff. So all these conference championship games, a lot of them didn't matter because they're not, they didn't have a chance to make the playoffs. I think in an expansion, it would make not only this last weekend a lot more fun, but then in 2 weeks we'd be looking at more big games. Now we have to wait a month and we only have two big games left. So yeah, to me, I want expansion, Dave.
I want to keep it at four, but if it does expand, and it will because of money, it'll eventually expand. I have no doubt about that. I think it should be eight, not 12. Here's why. Basically, even right now with four, I mean, the conference championship games basically serve as the quarterfinals, pretty much. Now, eight, I'd be okay with that. You could have the five conference champs and then three at large. And so this year, the two teams that'd be in that wouldn't be in normally if you just had the top eight would be Utah, who I think might be ranked 10th. I doubt they're going to crack the top eight. And then, of course, Pitt. You know, but, you know, it'd be fun to have the five conference champions and then three at large. Here's the thing. If you're like 12th in the country, I just feel like you don't deserve to get in. I don't think you'd really deserve to get in if you're eighth. I like that every game matters in college football. And yeah, you can slip up once, but you better not slip up twice. And if you slip up three times, you have absolutely no chance.
Yeah, I think what I like about the idea of 12 is there's a lot of layers to it. So you would have the top four teams would get a bye. So there would be the incentive to stay in the top four. And then there would be an incentive because what they're talking about is there would be games at home stadiums, at college campuses, which I think would be a lot of fun if you had playoff games on college campuses. But there would be that advantage to being seeded 5 through 8 as well, because you would get to host a game. And how fun would that be? There'd be a lot of fun matchups, in my opinion. Now, to me, this college football, we're down to a semifinal, and then the rest of the games, just the rest of the bowl games, Dave, just really don't matter to me. You know, I know there will be some people excited for this Rose Bowl matchup, Ohio State and Utah. I'm not one of them, Dave.
Utah will be excited. They'll be one of those people that are excited. That's the thing, man. And if you're an Ohio State fan, when the game is going on, it's going to feel like any other Ohio State game. You're going to be into it. I remember thinking in 96 when they blew the Michigan game, the spring slips game, they would have been national champs that year. They go to the Rose Bowl, and I'm thinking, I don't even care about this Rose Bowl, Arizona State. And when the game starts, David Boston gets an early touchdown. I'm like going crazy. And then he also got a late touchdown, by the way, as we all know, to win the game. So when the game happens, everybody who's a Buckeye fan is going to be all in. But to your point, leading up to it, it's a consolation game, which is crazy to say about the Rose Bowl. And for the listeners out there, it's not official yet. It's quote-unquote official. We're going to find out today around 2:30. We're also going to meet with Ryan Day over at Ohio State, the media wheel, at 3 o'clock. Going to be airing that live here on 97.1 The Fan. Going to be very interesting to see what Coach Day says. This will be his first time meeting with the media since the post-game press conference in Ann Arbor. You know how those are. Scattered. 5 minutes. This will be his first time really facing the music, and it's going to be interesting to see what he talks about. We're going to get into all that. One more thing before we move on, though, about college football. Notre Dame, and Bodie, I want you to chime in on this since these are your boys. Does it hurt them not being in a conference? I know this year it certainly does, because if they would have played in the ACC championship game, they would have beat Pitt or whoever, Wake Forest, whoever they would have played, and looked good doing it. You could make the argument that they could have jumped Cincinnati, but Cincinnati beat them and Cincinnati was undefeated. So Notre Dame probably still wouldn't have made it because they did lose head to head to Cincinnati. But Bodie, it certainly would have helped their cause if they played in a championship game yesterday and won. What do you think about that? Should Notre Dame, do they need to join a conference to help them with the playoffs?
So I know this is a hot take that happens every single year on this exact weekend, because most of the time, credit to our now former coach, Brian Kelly, he's gotten Notre Dame to a point where most of the time we hit this weekend, Notre Dame's right in the conversation of being in or right on the outside looking in. My super hot Stephen A. Smith like hot take with this is like, I really don't think it matters that much. And I say that because there's years like 2018 or last year in 2020, where they went, well, 2020 was weird because they played Clemson and the ACC because they were in the ACC. But let's look at 2018. They went 12-0. They were in. Guaranteed, done, set. They didn't have to play on conference championship weekend because they got in. If they had played somebody like a Clemson and lost, they probably could have fell out. This year, because they went 11-1 and they had that one loss to Cincinnati, I actually don't think they would have made it in regardless, because they would have played just an okay Pitt and Wake Forest. But let's say they played somebody like Clemson, who was at ranked, you know, if Clemson was a little bit better this season, then they could have gotten in. So like, I know like that's long story short, I don't think it really matters that much, because I think some years it could hurt them if they go 12-0 in the regular season. Some years it could help them. It's just kind of, the one thing I can't stand is how we get to this weekend every year, though. It's like Notre Dame has to be in because blah, blah, blah. Like, no, like some years it would help, some years it would hurt. It's really just kind of a depends on the season.
I think he makes a good point, Scotty. I concur.
Get in a damn conference, Notre Dame and Bodie. I hate it. I hate that they're not in a conference. No, I get your point. Some years it works, some years it doesn't. I still want to see Notre Dame in a conference. I thought it was fun last year seeing Notre Dame play in a conference championship game. So, yeah, to your point, though, this year it probably would have helped them. Previously not helped them. So it's a year-to-year thing.
Yeah, I don't think they would have got in just because it's Cincinnati and they lost the head-to-head in South Bend. What, by 14? Didn't Cincinnati beat them by 14? It was definitely double digits.
It was 11, yeah. 11, 24-13.
11,
and to me,
you.
Like, as much as I love Notre Dame, as much as I, honest, not that I care about Cincinnati, so if there's Cincinnati fans listening, don't hate me. I wanted you guys to lose yesterday because of my own purpose, nothing against Luke Fick or anything.
Well, of course.
But, like, once you lose at home to a Cincinnati team, a very good but beatable Cincinnati team, I'm just not going to be pounding the table for Notre Dame to get in. You played a team at home that you should have been able to beat and you lost to them. Then you lose your kind of argument at that point. And at that point, I'm okay. As a Notre Dame fan, I accept the fact that we're not in a conference. And once we lose a game like that, that we kind of like, we know our fate, so to speak. Like, we've kind of like made our bed. We got to sleep in it now.
Well, let's talk about teams that are in conferences. Championship Saturday in college football yesterday. All right, let's go down the ledger here. Big Ten, Michigan 42, Iowa 3. I mean, Iowa's offense is even more dreadful than I thought. This is what happens when you hire your kid as your offensive coordinator. Kirk Ferentz has his son as the offensive coordinator. They're just dreadful. SEC, Alabama 41, Georgia 24, American, Cincinnati 35, Houston 20, Big 12, Baylor 21, Okie State 16, ACC, Pitt 45, Wake 21, and then on Friday, the Pac-12 championship game with Utah 38, Oregon 10. Scotty, did you bet anything, and how did you do?
Of course I bet. I bet almost all of these games. It was a funny weekend in the fact that early on, looking at this Baylor beating Oklahoma State, you know, that kind of set up the day like, okay, there's these teams out there, because Oklahoma State, if they had won, likely would have been one of those teams in, or at the very least in the conversation of, is it Cincinnati or is it Oklahoma State today? But the fact is, I mean, that ended up being a crazy game that came down to the last play where Oklahoma State was stopped literally a half yard short of winning that game.
Yes.
And probably getting into the playoffs. How fun was that? What was not fun was the fact that Alabama again wins the SEC championship game. It's amazing. We talked all year about how amazing this Georgia defense looks, right? And Alabama did whatever they wanted in that game yesterday against Georgia. And now it sets up this potential playoff matchup where you've got Georgia and Michigan. And I'll tell you what, a week ago, I would have said, oh, there's no way Michigan is going to beat Georgia this year. And now, Dave, I almost think I'm almost 50-50 on who wins that game, because Michigan is trending in the right direction and Georgia just got exposed big time yesterday.
Give Michigan credit. They look really good. I mean, I just said Iowa's offense is terrible, and it is. You probably shouldn't have your kid as your offensive coordinator if you're at a major program or a pseudo major program. But you got to give Michigan credit. I thought they'd be a 7-5 team this year, and look at them. They're 12-1 and in the playoffs as Big Ten champs. You got to tip your cap to them. You have to. I think Ohio State's going to take it to him next year, and they've kind of poked the bear. By kind of, I mean a lot. They've poked the bear with some of their comments. But, hey, credit goes to Michigan. So we talked about Ohio State. They are headed to the Rose Bowl, looks like, most likely. What are your thoughts on this matchup? What do we think the spread will be?
Boy, I'll tell you, after watching what Utah has done the last few weeks, and they have absolutely been very impressive. If you haven't been watching any Pac-12 football, Utah is playing really well. Number one, this is going to be their first ever Rose Bowl game. And so you and I have talked about how these bowl games are so much about motivation. And you know what? There's a team that's going to be really, really excited and motivated to be there in Utah. And this is a team that has beaten Oregon twice by a combined score of 76-17. Two games, 76-17 over Oregon, a team that, as we know, beat Ohio State this year. So to me, I think this is a dangerous opponent. It's so hard to guess a spread, Dave, because we don't know who's going to play in the game, right? I think the big question is maybe Garrett Wilson. Will Chris Olave play in this game? So it's hard to throw a spread out there. If I had to say, let's say everybody is playing in it, let's say, then I think you're probably looking at Ohio State maybe minus 6 or so, but I don't think everyone's playing for Ohio State. Do you have anything you can share on that?
Yeah, if you're a Buckeye fan out there, or if you're a Ute fan, don't expect to see Garrett Wilson in this game, from what I've been told. It's not official. I don't know what Coach Day will say about that today, if anything. Again, if you're just tuning in, we'll speak with Coach Day at 3 p.m. today. You can hear his press conference right here on 97.1 The Fan. But yeah, I'll be surprised. Let's just put it this way. I'll be surprised if Garrett Wilson plays for the Buckeyes in the Rose Bowl. And you know what? If that happens, I don't fault him at all for that.
No.
Think about all the things. We were talking about before the show. I mean, you know, Jalen Smith, even though Jalen Smith had actually worked out well for him because he got that second contract, he's a very wealthy man. How about Jake Butt? Jake Butt was projected as like a late first, early second round pick, played in that, was it the Orange Bowl for Michigan? Yeah, I think it was the Orange Bowl, I believe against Florida State. And, you know, tore his ACL, fell all the way to the fifth or sixth round, and then got hurt again and just never got that second contract. Even his rookie contract wasn't that much money, relatively speaking. We're going to see more and more of that. That 2015 season, Fiesta Bowl, it was really, I guess, technically 2016. It's crazy. We're also talking about all the guys that played in that game that today wouldn't have. I mean, Zeke, think about all the guys that was their last game. Zeke, Joey Bosa, who I think intentionally got thrown out of that game with the targeting. All the other guys that played in that game that, you know, in today's game probably wouldn't have. Go ahead.
Well, and a great example is just yesterday, right? Alabama star wide receiver, John Metchie. He suffers. I don't think it's official yet, but it sounds like he probably tore his ACL yesterday in the game. So this could happen at any point. You know, you throw in a bowl game, that could happen to someone who's expected to be a first round pick, and that's a killer, right? So it's risky. And so in a game like that you're not playing for a national title or a playoff, it makes sense.
We'll talk a lot more about college football throughout the show, but up next, we're going to take a look at news and injuries that are affecting fantasy football. That's up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
We are everywhere. On your radio, online, the Fan app, Alexa, and behind you in your car right now.
Too creepy?
Sorry. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan, I am Dave Biddle. I'm joined by Scotty Vegas. Let's get into news and notes that are affecting fantasy football. Week 13 in the NFL is upon us. Teams on a bye. Cleveland Browns, the Packers, the Titans, and the Panthers. Only one more week of byes after this one. That's always welcome news for fantasy owners. All right, let's get into some of the guys that are affected this week. Debo Samuel out 1 to 2 games at least for the Niners with a groin strain. The doctor, a lady who does a great piece every week for The Athletic, thinks it could be a little longer than a week or two. That is terrible news for Debo Samuel owners. He's having an amazing year. Brandon Ayuk, though, if you're a Brandon Ayuk owner, I think he's going to ramp up his production, and he's been pretty good this year anyway.
Yeah, he's inconsistent, though. And this is a 49ers team and offense that is playing a lot better over the last few weeks. So now they're 6-5. They play the Seahawks today. So that's a loss for them. And you know, Debo has had a fantastic year. So anybody who has him in fantasy, that's a tough loss.
Another tough loss. Dalvin Cook out at least 2 weeks. Could be longer with that shoulder injury. Alexander Mattison is the man. Hopefully, if you have Cook, you have Madison.
Oh, so Madison is a fantastic play in daily fantasy today, in my opinion. First off, they're going up against the Lions. But in the two games where Cook has been out this year, Madison is averaging 25 carries a game. So he is going to be that workhorse running back, average 112 yards per game in those two. So while Cook is out, Madison is absolutely the play.
His name is Alexander Madison. The room where it happens. All right, here we go. Darren Waller out 1 to 2 weeks with a knee injury. Again, another injury that could be longer than that. Foster Moreau to start for the Raiders. He had to start one other game this year and had like 10 targets, had 6 receptions and a touchdown. I picked up Moreau in the fantasy league that you and I are in. I didn't have Waller. I just needed a tight end. I was glad that Moreau was still out there. So If you had Waller, hopefully you're able to pick up Foster Moreau for the Raiders.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're like me, I kind of stream tight ends. So, you know, I go basically based on matchups and how things are looking, because if you don't have one of those top three, top four, top tight ends, then you start looking at the waiver wire week to week for who to pick up, and that he is a good option this week.
This is something we should talk about more. I like the different fantasy formats. I'm not saying the way I do it in the league that I'm the commission is right. It's just different, and I like being in different formats. The only one that I'm in that you pay for your waiver pickup, so it's really harder to stream, is the league that I run. You pay $5 per pickup. So if you want to stream, go for it. You're going to be paying a lot of money at the end of the year. But I also like the leagues where I don't have to do that. I like mixing it up. What are your thoughts on, because streaming is such a thing, you start putting a tax on that. And not only are you putting a tax on it so people can't stream as much, at the end of the year, whoever is the points champion has the most points, half the time that's not the person who wins the league. They get all the money in the waiver kitty. What do you think about that rule?
I like the fact that you put money on picking up players. I really do. And it's $5 pickup. I didn't realize it was that expensive. What am I doing spending all this money? But no, here's the fact of this league is you and I are in first place in this league. So I'm willing to throw the $5 into the kitty for a pickup right now. Now, if I was in 7th, 8th, 9th, screw it. I'm not spending $5 to maybe help somebody else in the fantasy league. So I like the format a lot. I think you should actually do that. Maybe limit it. So like if you're paying $100 in waiver wire pickups, that's frustrating. But I've been streaming defenses and tight ends, not knowing I was paying $5 each time.
So you want like a season pass, you know, yeah. Like an unlimited, like you pay $100, like is all you can eat type thing.
Yeah,
maybe we'll take the, hey, it's a democracy in my league. Seriously, everything is up for vote every year. We can put that up for vote next year.
One more thing. Speaking of our fantasy leagues. So you and I are going head to head for first place right now, and I keep following your scores. And last week you won by 1/10 of a point, 1/10 of a point,
less than 1/10 of a point.
Yes. So that's basically 1 yard by a running back or one catch by, it was so frustrating. I was looking at it, I was staring at it, and I'm like, okay, well, there's a full quarter to go. And I forget the tight end you were going up against on Monday Night Football. Oh, it was Mark Andrews. You were going up against Mark Andrews, and he had like a 45-yard catch. And I was like, if that had been a 46-yard catch, you would have lost.
And I think that was like in the second quarter or something.
It was early.
And then he gets shut out for the rest of the game. That was incredible.
Yeah, incredible.
Yes, when you have to go to the 1/100th of a point.
I needed you to lose.
I love it. Hey, at least it was a doubleheader league, so I did lose my other one. Now, yeah. There you go. DeAndre Swift out at least one game with a shoulder injury for the Lions. Jamal Williams is the back you want there, of course. That's another one that could be longer than just a week. That looked pretty bad there on Thanksgiving, both Darren Waller and DeAndre Swift getting hurt on Thanksgiving. Good news for the Cardinals, Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins expected to play today against the Bears. And one more, Antonio Brown. The saga continues. Suspended 3 games for his fake vaccination card. Now, he shouldn't have used the name McLovin on it, in my opinion.
Oh, gosh. You know what?
We've got jokes.
Honestly, Antonio Brown, I can't believe this is only a 3-game suspension. For all of the protocols and all the deals that all these players have to go through with this, for Antonio Brown to submit a fake vaccination card and it's only 3 games, to me, if I were Tampa Bay and I know that they're going for a Super Bowl and they said previously that he has a zero tolerance policy, I'd consider cutting him over this. I think this is absolutely ridiculous.
You know what it is? It's because he's never been in trouble before. He's like a first offender. Oh, yeah. That probably helped him here.
Right.
No, seriously, like how does he only get suspended 3 games? He's been in trouble like for serious stuff, not like a little minor stuff here and there, for serious stuff the last few years where I thought he might not ever even play in the NFL again. It was that serious. Then he does this nonsense. By the way, did you see how much he paid for it? I was thinking, oh, he's probably... This is Antonio Brown, a millionaire, $500.
Oh, geez.
This is like a kid going back to McLovin, how like a much a kid might pay for like a fake ID. You're Antonio Brown. No wonder you got caught.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy bucks. Down the street make you a fake vaccination card and you got caught. $500. What an idiot.
That's exactly right.
What an absolute idiot. All right. Up next, Scotty and I are going to give our favorite value picks for daily fantasy. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
Whatever you're doing right now, just know that Bo Bishop is enjoying a sip of bourbon. Even if this promo is playing in the morning, no judgment.
Ah, sweet morning drinking.
The Fan.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan. I am Dave Biddle. I'm joined by Scotty Vegas. Let's get into our daily fantasy football value picks for today. Scotty and I are each going to give a value pick, a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end for daily fantasy. Quarterback, I hope I'm wrong here, but I'm going to go Justin Herbert, 6,700 on DraftKings at the Bengals. Here's the thing. Like, Bengals actually have a pretty good pass defense. Not as great against the run, but it just seems like a good bargain to me. I figured Herbert would be certainly over 7,000. I just like the value there. 6,700, Justin Herbert at the Bengals today.
Yeah, and I'm going to go Carson Wentz. You know, this is a guy who has double-digit rushing yards in five of his last six games, multiple touchdown passes in seven of his last nine. So I like the value, plus the fact that they're playing Houston. I always seem to find a quarterback that's going up against Houston that week. And this week, it's Carson Wentz.
I like that strategy. My running back, another one that just jumped out and makes the price seem much lower than I expected. James Conner, 5,900 at the Bears. Now, the Cardinals are expected to get Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins back. That's very good news for their owners. Maybe not as good news for James Conner, but still, if you're looking for a value pick, $5,900 for James Conner at the Bears. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. And James Conner has been playing awesome lately. I'm going to go Alexander Mattison. We talked about it last segment. With Cook out, Mattison has been a top 12 running back, fantasy running back, as a plug and play. So I like him. I think there's going to be decent value. I think he'll get a lot of carries against the Lions today. So I got Mattison as my running back.
The one that I feel strongly about of these four, my wide receiver, I really like this, Jaylen Waddle, 6,400, playing the Giants today in Miami. Now, Daniel Jones isn't playing. I mean, that doesn't really affect Jaylen Waddle that much, although it just hurts the Giants overall. But again, I think that's a good value there. Jaylen Waddle, 6,400 on DraftKings.
And I'm going to go with DK Metcalf. You know, this has been a frustrating Seattle Seahawks offense. But the good thing is you can buy low this week in daily fantasy on DK Metcalf. They're going up against the 49ers. I like Metcalf, and I like Russell Wilson to hopefully get things together here. Please get things together. I have you in all my fantasy leagues. He's been so frustrating, but I think Metcalf today has a good matchup against the 49ers.
At tight end, I think I've used this guy a few times, but I'm going to use him again. Pat Freiermuth against the Ravens, just 4,200. Pat Freiermuth is my daily fantasy value pick at tight end.
Yeah, I really like Freiermuth a lot too, going up against the Ravens. So I actually had him written down. But another one that I like is Logan Thomas. So Logan Thomas with Washington is also good value.
By the way, did you see, this is not a surprise, but Schefter reported this morning, or maybe it was late last night, that within the Steeler organization, they know this is going to be Ben Roethlisberger's last year. He's not going to announce it. He's saying he doesn't want it to be about him these last five games. No surprise at all. I mean, the two guys he's always going to be, you know, thought of, kind of bracketed together, were the two other quarterbacks from his draft class. Eli Manning, who retired 2 years ago. Phillip Rivers, who retired after last season. Big Ben, kind of figured this was his last year, but I saw that. Seems like it's like not official, but pretty much official.
Yeah, that was interesting that I saw that come across last night. And you know what? I guess the fact is, you and your Bengals beat him so bad last week
now he
needed to start telling people after what the Bengals did to me. Yeah, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, Bengals dominated them twice. It was 41-10. The last time the Bengals beat them that bad was 1989. Same score, 41-10. Unbelievable. Yeah, that was a crazy weekend last weekend. Starting with Saturday, whatever happened last Saturday, I can't remember. I just remember it wasn't good. And then Sunday, it was a bizarro world, Jerry. All right, NFL fact or fiction time. I'm going to make five statements. We're going to say whether they are fact or fiction. Number one, Scotty Vegas, the Cincinnati Bengals are going to make the playoffs. Fact or fiction?
I am going fact. Right now, analytics have the Bengals at a 65% chance to make it. This AFC playoff race is pretty crazy. Every team has at least four losses except Baltimore. I'm going to say fact. Your Bengals are going to the playoffs.
I say fact as well, and I think they can all but lock it in today. Not really locking it, but if they beat the Chargers and go 8-4, and they'll have a good record in the AFC, I think that puts them in a position where they'd likely get in at 10-7. So, you know, and I think 11-6 is obviously a lock. So if you go to 8-4 today and you beat another AFC team and an AFC team that's, you know, challenging for a wild card berth, that would put the Bengals in great position. Number two, the Patriots-Bills winner is going to be the number one seed in the AFC playoffs this year. Fact or fiction?
I'm excited for this game tomorrow night. I think this is going to be an awesome one. Could be some bad weather, which will make it even more fun. But I'm going to go fiction. I think I like the Chiefs to win out and probably get that one seed. So I'm going to go fiction.
I'll go fiction as well. But if I knew ahead of time the Patriots are going to win, which I think even though they're underdogs, I like them as underdogs in this game. I might go fact because I like the Patriots a lot. But right now I agree with you. I have the Chiefs winning the AFC and the Patriots as the second best team. So I will go fiction. All right. The Browns, number three, the Browns are going to finish the season with a losing record. Fact or fiction?
I am going fact on that, Dave. Woo. Right now they are 6-6. Looking ahead at their schedule, I think they probably go 2-3 the rest of the way. I just hate this offense right now. I'm going fact. I think they're going to be under 500.
I'll go fiction. I think they're going to finish 3-2 and go 9-8. I'll go fiction on that one. Number four, if you could have one fantasy player down the stretch for fantasy football this year, it would be Jonathan Taylor, fact or fiction.
Yeah, he has just been an absolute beast. That's a fact for me. One thing when I'm looking at fantasy, I look at how these guys have performed over the last 4 weeks, and Jonathan Taylor has been a monster. So, yeah, that's a fact for me.
Give me fact as well. I mean, he's like kind of what, you know, when Derrick Henry went down, and I guess clearly the best running back in fantasy, Jonathan Taylor says, here I am. I tell you what, another guy who's really, you know, charging hard right now, no pun intended with who they're playing today, is Joe Mixon.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I was looking through those last 4 weeks, total fantasy points scored. First off, it's obviously Jonathan Taylor, but number two is Joe Mixon of the non-quarterback. So Joe Mixon has been the second best player in fantasy football over the last 4 weeks when you exclude the quarterbacks.
All right, final one here, Scotty. The best Super Bowl value bet right now is the Los Angeles Rams, fact or fiction?
I'm going to go fiction. 12-1 with that talent. You know, we've been saying that we think the Rams are all in for this year. They have all this talent and stuff. And at 12-1, that seems like good value if they were able to get in there. To me, there's a team that I'm looking at that's 40-1 that I think there's really, really good value. Ooh, on.
You're going, yeah. Colts on me?
I'm going Colts. I love Jonathan Taylor. I know they blew that game against the Bucs last week, but I think if the Colts find their way into the AFC playoffs, I think they're a dangerous and a good futures bet.
By the way, per Bovada yesterday when I was doing the prep for this, Colts actually 45-1.
Ooh,
so
even better.
If you like them at 40-1, you might want to jump on Bovada, my friend. And then they're going to kick you off like all the other sports books you're on because you do too damn well on all of them. The one that I'm going to go fiction because the one that I like the most right now is the Patriots plus 850. I just like what they're doing. They have a really good defense. Mac Jones, game manager, and their coach is pretty good.
Yeah, he's okay. You know, I guess mentally, here's the problem for me. I remember a few weeks ago looking at the Patriots line and seeing that their futures were like 30-1. And so that's still fresh in my mind, is seeing, oh, the Patriots were 30-1. It's harder for me to take them. You said what, right now they're 8-1, 9-1, somewhere in there.
8.5-1. Yeah.
Yeah. 8.5-1. So it's hard for me when I think, oh, I could have had them at 30. Now they're down to 8.
That's a good point. Like you feel like you missed out. Now's not the time to jump. Yeah. I hear you. All right. Now this is your favorite team of all of the teams out there. Any team that plays sports in the world, Ohio State men's basketball is Scotty's favorite team. And good time to talk some Ohio State basketball coming off the upset of number one Duke. Ohio State 70-71, Duke 66 on Tuesday. The shot was rocking. And Scotty, you point this out. This is so true. When I heard the line, I heard this actually on Rothman and Ice. They were I was driving around. They were talking about the line. There's only a bucket. I'm like, what? And it was Ohio, three-point bucket, but a bucket. Ohio State was only a three-point dog, and I'm thinking, what is going on here? And Anthony was making the point, when there is a weird line, be careful. That's the same thing that you said. When there is a weird line, stay away. I was thinking Duke was going to cover, and looked like they were going to, up 15 in the second half, and the Buckeyes showed a lot of toughness, came back, played great defense, and won that game. And you've got to be on cloud nine, my friend.
I am. So Anthony and I were actually texting each other throughout that day because Duke was a 3-point favorite. And I like to try and guess lines before I look at them. And I had guessed that Duke would have been about an 8 or 9 point favorite. So I thought, oh, tons of value. Now I didn't do it. I went in and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to bet against the Buckeyes. I am going to go in as full fan mode. I don't want to, you know, hedge my fandom or anything like that. I went all in. I didn't place a bet. I went all in as a fan, and I'm so glad I did. It was one of the most fun games. I've been going to the shop for 20 years now, 20 years of season tickets, and I will tell you, that game against Duke, the finish against that Duke, ties the Matt Sylvester shot against Illinois in Thad Matta's first year as my favorite games ever in the shot. It was so much fun. I told you, Dave, I ran onto the court. I literally was with all the students jumping up and down. I actually didn't have a voice. My voice was gone until about Friday afternoon. I'm like, oh, gosh, we have on the money on Sunday, and I'm going to have this bad voice. Fortunately, it came back. But it was so much fun. So much credit to how Ohio State hung in there, right? That was a game where they did not look good for the first 30 minutes. Missed free throws, turned the ball over a lot, but they were able to get it together, stay close enough, and Cedric Russell came up big down the stretch, and obviously EJ Liddell. So a lot of fun. But here's the thing. They have a big game tonight right here on the Fan. Big Ten play starts tonight with Penn State. You have to win tonight. It's on the road. It's a place that Ohio State has struggled with on the road, but this is a big one. Got to start out the Big Ten 1-0.
What a strange Big Ten opener.
Yeah.
Sunday night.
At 7:30,
right? I don't think I remember a Sunday night Big Ten opener, but hey, gives us something to do tonight. It kind of works out perfect. You know, the 4 o'clock games will be ending in the NFL. Still have, you know, about an hour till the Sunday night game kicks off, and then watch some Buckeye basketball. And yeah, Penn State's not good at basketball this year, but you're right. Bryce Jordan Center has been tough on the Buckeyes over the years, so we'll see what happens. Up next, we're going to take a look at college football action from yesterday, and we're going to give you some news and nuggets about Ohio State football. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan, I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scotty Vegas. All right, let's get into some news and nuggets about Ohio State football. It's going to be an interesting day today. We will meet with Ryan Day over at Ohio State at 3 p.m., his first press conference since the postgame presser in Ann Arbor, which isn't really much of a press conference in those postgame settings. So this is going to be interesting today. You can hear that live here on 97.1 The Fan. Let's start with Quinn Ewers transferring. I'm hearing now from a source, Texas Tech is the most likely scenario there. We were hearing maybe Texas. Now I'm being told by someone I trust very much, look for Ewers to transfer to Texas Tech. Makes sense.
Interesting. Very interesting. And I got to tell you, of the teams that are being brought up, like which are mostly Texas schools, Texas Tech is the one I'd kind of be okay with seeing him go and succeed at. I don't want to see him doing well at Texas, because that's frustrating to me to see him go succeed at Texas, but Texas Tech, that'd be okay for me.
Yeah, and it's a very quarterback-friendly system down there where you throw the ball 80 times a game.
Yeah.
Of course, kind of like Ohio State now. We used to make fun of the Big 12. Now Ohio State's become a Big 12 team. That's one thing. All joking aside, you know, let's get into Ohio State with the defensive coordinator stuff. That's going to be, I think, the crux of what Ryan Day has asked about today. Yeah, people are going to ask about the Rose Bowl matchup with Utah. I'm not going to say I couldn't care less about that. I care about the matchup with Utah, but I care a heck of a lot more about what they're going to do with this defensive coordinator position. Scotty, he needs to go outside the program and find himself his new Jeff Hafley. No promoting from within, no this and that. Find a guy that you're going to bring in, and you turn the defense over to him. You can't go out there and say, well, I just run the offense, but I'm going to tell the defensive coordinator you got to do the single high safety. No, you bring in the best defensive coordinator you can find. And I know chemistry is important. It can't just be anybody who's not going to fit in well with Ryan Day. But find your new Jeff Hafley. Just like Michigan did with this Mike McDonald guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Great example. Now, you're going to be in that press conference at 3 o'clock. I want a little preview, all right? What is your question to Ryan Day?
Basically that, you know, what are you going to do about defensive coordinator? Now, he's not going to give us specific names or anything, but, you know, he's really good with the media. You know, I think even if he gives, even if he deflects a little bit, we're going to know, I think, from his answers, and he's going to be asked more than, you know, once about it and in different ways. I think we're going to know, you know, kind of where he's leaning. You know, is he leaning on going outside the program? Is there someone within the program that, you know, he's thinking about making the permanent DC? Is Kerry Combs still going to be the, I think there's no chance that's going to happen. He demoted him. There's no, and they got better. Maybe Matt Barnes is going to get the full-time gig. I don't think so. If they would have finished the season strong, didn't get waxed against Michigan, maybe Matt Barnes, you could say, okay, Matt Barnes going to be the DC. Maybe have Paul Rhodes, who's been helping out as an analyst. A lot of DC experience. Maybe he'd be the co-DC, whatever. Now I think they have to go outside the program, and Coach Day is going to be asked about that.
We're a gambling show. We're a sports gambling show. And so I'm going to ask you this, you know, as far as this goes, what would you say the over under on number of defensive coaches on Ohio State staff that changes in this offseason? I'm going to set that number at 1.5. Would you say over or under the number of defensive coaches that change in this offseason?
Over. I'd put the over under at 2.5. And then I don't know what I would do. But if it's 1.5, give me the over for sure. And that doesn't mean it's like for sure going to happen. I just mean if that was betting, I would definitely take the over there. They're at least going to have one, and I bet they'll have two. You know, I mean, what has Al Washington done? They've had three scholarship line. First of all, the player development, not good. They had three scholarship linebackers from the start of the season until yesterday transfer. Craig Young being the most recent. Craig Young's now transferring. He's in the portal. Dallas Gant, middle of the year. Kayvon Pope in spectacular fashion, something we've never seen in Ohio State, where he just, you know, quit in the middle of the game. That's a problem. And they're already thin at linebacker. And, you know, they missed out on some recruits there. And they've landed some good recruits, but, like, those guys have been, like, guys from Ohio, like Reed Carrico. You know, and they've got a couple good ones coming in, of course, with Gabe Powers and CJ Hicks, guys from Ohio. And they talked Al Washington into staying last year. He got offered the job at Tennessee as defensive coordinator. Josh Heupel must be like thanking his lucky stars Al Washington didn't take that job. He's struggling as a linebacker coach. He was offered a defensive coordinator job in the SEC. So I won't be surprised if they move on from him. I don't know.
Yeah. Yep. Well, so we think that the Buckeyes are going to the Rose Bowl to play Utah. That'll be announced, and that'll be something that Ryan Day talks about at 3 o'clock today. You know, we talk about the Big Ten and what's looking ahead for the Big Ten as far as these bowl games. We think Michigan probably gets the 2 seed today. Most likely going up against Georgia in what will be the playoff semifinal. Here's a couple of the other Big Ten matchups that I've seen projected out there. Again, these are just projections. We'll know in a couple hours, but I've seen the fact that we might see a Tennessee-Purdue game in the Music City Bowl, the New Era Pinstripe, likely a Virginia Tech-Purdue matchup. We've seen now the Outback Bowl, either Wisconsin or Minnesota going up against an SEC team like Arkansas or Kentucky. And then the Citrus Bowl, same thing. You're probably looking at Iowa going up against an SEC team, Kentucky or Texas A&M. So while we're all disappointed, Ohio State's not in the playoffs, I do love the bowl games, Dave. I do enjoy watching these games. I'm frustrated Ohio State's in the Rose Bowl, not in a playoff game. But I will tell you, I am someone, I think there's 42 bowl games. I will be watching 42 bowl games this year.
And if you're not going to be in the playoff, even though it's, you know, you can say it's a relic. It used to be the granddaddy of them all. Still, if you're not going to be in the playoff, being in the Rose Bowl is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Up next is the Parlay Party, and you will not want to miss that. That is up next on The Money, right here on The Fan.
This is Ohio State football coach Ryan Day on your home for Buckeye football, The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to On the Money, 97.1 The Fan. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scott Prokop. We like to call him Scotty Vegas. We have producer Bodie Wells at the controls. If you are just joining us, this is a show about fantasy football and sports gambling. And right now, it is time for the Parlay Party. Hit it, Bodie. Oh, yeah. This is where we celebrate anything we want to celebrate in the sports world. Hopefully, it's maybe a parlay you hit in gambling. Scotty, we will lead off with you. What are you celebrating today?
A few things I'm celebrating. First off, last Sunday, I hit a monster NFL parlay. So that was fun. It ended up being the last game that I needed was the Ravens. They came through for me. So that was a nice win for me. Number two, I'm celebrating, of course, Ohio State Hoops beating the number one team in the country and sending Coach K out a loser here in Columbus.
Loser.
You know what's funny is Coach K just happens to be 0-2 at the shot. One beat down and then one losing as the number one team, which was this week. That was so much fun. I'll tell you, I rushed the court and I immediately regretted it. I'm jumping up and down and it's just nothing but students around me. And I got to tell you, a lot of stinky, smelly people up against me, jumping up and down. It was fun, but a little stinky. Number two, Big Ten winning the Big Ten ACC Challenge in basketball. I don't know why. I always find this a fun thing that they do in college basketball, where they do the conferences against the other conferences, and the Big Ten won it 8-6. They beat the ACC, so that was a lot of fun. Bodie, how about you? What are you celebrating?
All right, I'm going to definitely stay away from college basketball because Notre Dame is horrendous this year, and that bums me out. We're going to talk about things we're celebrating. So Notre Dame has a new head football coach, which absolutely blows my mind. If you guys would have told me a week ago at this time that Notre Dame would have a new head coach, about 72 hours later, I would have called you crazy. But that's exciting, I guess. Welcome in Marcus Freeman. The Marcus Freeman era begins, and that's pretty exciting. And on Thursday night, the Cowboys got, I'll say, a big win. I know the Saints, especially with Taysom Hill at quarterback, are pretty terrible. They were also without their two starting tackles and Alvin Kamara, so there was no reason that Dallas shouldn't have won the game, but they kind of needed to win. They had lost three of their last four games, and they were kind of in a little bit of a tricky spot where they were kind of falling back a little bit, so they definitely picked up what I kind of considered a must-win, so that was great. Kind of a wild week in the sports week, especially hit home for me with Notre Dame, but nonetheless, that was kind of a crazy week. Biddle?
I am celebrating still the Bengals sweeping the Steelers. I've heard the Steelers dominating the Bengals for so many years. That felt really, really good. And of course, as Scotty mentioned, Tuesday upsetting number one Duke, Coach K, the way they did it, down 15, looked like they had no chance. And you're thinking, haha, I knew that 3-point spread was ridiculous. They should have been like 9-point underdogs. No, anytime there's a weird line, stay away from it. And I am also celebrating the fact that Scotty Vegas and I are 1-2 in my fantasy football league.
Yes.
Out of 12 guys, we're 1-2 in the old Dirty Dozen league. So that is what I'm celebrating for sure. Go ahead.
And the fact that you and your Bengals are sending Ben to retirement.
That's right. As it should be. We created Brett Favre, and now we're sending Big Ben into retirement. Helped create Big Ben, too. Big Ben's had a pretty good record in the state of Ohio during his career.
Yes, he has. But you know what? You know, thinking back to that Bengals game last week and just how huge that was as far as the division, you know, and we're going to look at the division odds and percentages and things like that. But the fact that the Bengals were able to destroy the Steelers twice this year, Dave, that's worth the parlay party celebration.
Yes, sir. I need all of the air horns for that. I love it. I love it. Air horns are just great. They're so underrated. Are they rated? I don't know. If they are rated, they're underrated. Air horns are fantastic. All right, let's get into the odds to win the AFC North Championship, as Scotty mentioned. Now, the number one team, no surprise, Ravens, -175. Number two, the Bengals, 2-1 odds to win the AFC North Championship. Browns, 9-1 odds. Steelers, all the way to 30-1 odds. Hate to see it.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Yeah, so, you know, looking back at that game last Sunday night, too, with the Browns and the Ravens, that was not a pretty football game. The Ravens did not play well. I think there was a stretch where Lamar Jackson threw three interceptions on three straight drives at the end of the first half, and the Browns still could not score and put points on the board. It was that ugly. So this thing, like, the Ravens right now would be the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. And that feels really weird because when you watch the Ravens play, they haven't been impressive, right? They have not looked great in a lot of games. We saw the Bengals actually destroyed the Ravens in a game, right? So
That is confirmed.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So this is a wide open. I think, you know, Bengals looking at the schedule coming up, this one's huge today. I was a little bit surprised that they're a 3-point favorite over the Chargers. I thought this one might be closer to a pick 'em. But the huge opportunity today at home. And by the way, 4 of their final 6 games this season are in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and this is just being a Bengal fan. I have a lot of trepidation about today's game. Anytime they start to, you know, everybody's like, ooh, the Bengals are going to, I read a story on CBS Sports this morning that the Bengals had a guy predicting is going to be, they're going to be the number one seed in the AFC. Whoa. As soon as this stuff starts to happen, things happen like they lose to the Jets.
Yes.
So, and we'll see. Bengals are favored by 3 today. Go ahead.
Every week you say your favorite psychology is reverse psychology, yes. Right? And I love that joke. I use that joke off the air all the time now too. And I love the fact that for the Bengals, when you're feeling down, then they've come through. When you're feeling really high this year, they have struggled. So reverse psychology, they're in trouble today.
Yeah, I mean, I got my undergrad in, you know, journalism, but, you know, I have a PhD in reverse psychology.
Yes.
That's what my master's program was, PhD in reverse psychology. Let's get into the odds to win the Super Bowl. I love this. So the Bucks still have the number one odds of winning the Super Bowl, 5.5 to 1. It's wide open. I love this. Number two, tied for number two, the Packers and the Chiefs, 7 to 1. Number four, Cardinals, 8 to 1. Tied for fifth, the Bills and the Patriots, 8.5 to 1. Tied for seventh, three-way tie for seventh. Ravens, Cowboys, and Rams, 12 to 1. 10th best odds to win the Super Bowl, the Tennessee Titans, 22 to 1. 11th, a tie between the Bengals and the 49ers, 30 to 1. I say we do Bengals and 49ers again. Both times the Bengals have made the Super Bowl, they played the 49ers. This time we'd win, though. No. 13, Chargers, 35 to 1. Colts, 45 to 1. And then the Cleveland Browns check in at 15th, 65 to 1. Those are really, if you even can say the Browns have a legit chance, those are really only 15 teams that have a chance. I know you like the Colts at 45 to 1.
I do. I do. You know, I think the reason why I do is I just think that this is so wide open this year, both AFC, NFC. If you were to tell me the Colts and the 49ers were in the Super Bowl, it wouldn't shock me this year. I just think it's so wide open. Now, with all that being said, when you were reading off all these teams and all these odds, the one that I'm like, ooh, gosh, I still like this one as well, is the Chiefs. And I think you said 7 to 1 with the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think there's value in that because looking at their schedule, I think they've got a good chance to win the rest of the games in the regular season, get the number one seed in the playoffs. And look, we know how huge the number one seed is going to be. Number one, you're the only team getting a bye this year. And number two, the fact that you're getting the home field advantage. And, you know, it's also big in the NFC too, because if Green Bay, because I think Green Bay has a good schedule coming up. If Green Bay can get that number one seed and the playoffs go through Lambeau, that's an enormous factor when you're trying to figure out which teams to bet as future Super Bowl winners.
I just love how wide open it is this year. I imagine I'd have to crunch the numbers and go back and look. I imagine it's pretty rare to have 14 teams this late in the season that have at least 45 to 1 or better odds of winning the Super Bowl. When you look at the Colts at 45 to 1, they are the 14th best odds in the league. All right, let's look at Bengals versus Chargers betting preview for today. Chargers in Cincinnati to play the Bengals. Bengals favored by 3, as we mentioned. If you want to hit the money line, it's minus 170. Bengals plus 145 for the Chargers. The over-under is 49.5. That's actually tied for the second highest of the week. The highest is Bucks-Falcons at 50.5. Scotty, how would you bet this game? I'm guessing from your comments, maybe if you're looking for a value pick, you're going plus 145 Chargers on the money line. What do you think?
Yeah, I to be honest with you, I kind of like the +3 with the Chargers more so than the money line. Just if the Bengals win on a last second field goal, you're pushing. This is a game to me where, you know, the Chargers are a team that throughout the year, I look at it and I'm like, how are they not better? Like with the talent that they have with Justin Herbert and quite
frankly,
rookie
head coach, maybe
the rookie head coach, and the fact that they're not good against the run. And you know what? The Bengals have Joe Mixon, who has been so good lately. That is a tough matchup for the Chargers. So I think it's a game where the Chargers are going to have to score a lot of points to stay in it. And I think they will. I would lean probably taking the +3. I think the Bengals might win the game, but I would probably take the points in this one.
Just win, baby. Where's the public money going in this one? What are the sharps doing as well?
So right now, the public money you're looking at is it's actually on the Bengals. This line actually went up to 3.5 at one point, and now it's back down to 3. So you're over 50% on both tickets written and on the money on the Bengals.
Let's reset some of the top fantasy football stories. Again, teams on the bye, there are 4. The Browns, Packers, Titans, Panthers, get those guys out of your lineup. Debo Samuel out at least 1 to 2 games for the 49ers. I mean, he's been having an incredible year. Big loss for fantasy owners, big loss for the Niners. Brandon Ayuk really needs to step up now.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a 49ers team that is playing better right now. We know that Debo is out. And this is a 49ers team that, you know, when we're talking about futures bets, this is a team that's trending in the right direction. The Rams, they've been trending the opposite way. 49ers are looking good. But Debo Samuel owners, make sure you get him out this week.
Dalvin Cook out at least 2 weeks for the Vikings. Could be longer. Shoulder injury. Alexander Mattison is the man.
He is the man, and he gets a ton of run with Cook out. In his 2 games with Cook being out, he averages 25 carries a game, 112 rushing yards. So hopefully, if you have Dalvin Cook and he's out, hopefully you handcuffed him with Madison, because Madison, great value today.
A couple guys that suffered what looked like serious injuries on Thanksgiving. Might not be as serious as it looked, but still, they're going to be out for at least 1 to 2 weeks. That's Darren Waller and DeAndre Swift. Let's start with Waller. He's going to be out with a knee injury. Foster Moreau will now start for the Raiders while Waller is out. Again, Waller, at least 1 to 2 weeks, could be longer.
Yeah, and that's a devastating blow for them. We know the number of targets. We know that the offense revolves around Waller. You and I talked about this earlier in the show. We talked about how if you're somebody who streams tight ends, this is a good option for you this week.
I picked him up, and I didn't have Waller. I just needed a tight end, so I picked up Foster Moreau. I had been starting Dan Arnold, which seemed like a good idea for like a week. Then it wasn't a good idea, even when he was healthy. Then it was really a bad idea once he got hurt early in that game last week, and I got like 0.8 points for my tight end, but still won by like less than 1/10 of a point, which Scotty was rooting against me, as you should.
One versus two
or anything. Anything. Yeah, I would have, yeah, you know, half point, you know, anything. Yeah, you're right. 1 yard. One yard. I would have lost. I wasn't playing you, but I would have lost. DeAndre Swift out at least 1 games, but you know, again, that looks like, and I read a story about this, this could be a lot longer than 1 game. Jamal Williams is the back you want for the Lions, but DeAndre Swift, good for the Lions long term. I think it's been so long for them, basically since Barry Sanders, they've been looking for a running back. They finally have found one.
Absolutely. Swift is a star for sure, so he'll be out for a little bit.
No doubt about it. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins is expected to play for the Cardinals. They've been out for a while. They had a bye last week, so they've been able to rest up. So that's good news for Murray and Hopkins owners. And one more thing here. Antonio Brown suspended 3 games for a fake vaccination card. This guy, man.
How this is only 3 games, I don't get it. This guy is an idiot. Just a ridiculous situation there. But I do want to throw out to you, Dave, because these numbers have actually just come out recently. So now we have new odds to win the college football national championship.
Hey, now.
Yeah. Yeah. And what did we say Georgia was last week? I think that they were maybe minus 300 last week.
Plus 300 now?
Well, not quite that bad, but so Georgia and Alabama are now both plus 125 to win the national championship. Michigan comes in at 7-1 to win the national championship. And then you can get Cincinnati and Luke Fickell at 10-1 right now.
Ooh, so, I would have guessed like higher than that.
I would have too.
15. Huh, that's interesting. I don't know how anybody could have watched that game yesterday and have Georgia and Alabama bracketed the same.
I know, I right? mean,
do you think that was a fluke, or do you think Stetson Bennett can win you a national championship? There's just no way. And their defense was billed as the college version of the 85 Bears.
Yes.
And by the way, they still have a very good defense. Let's not get it twisted. Alabama had a great, you know, great game plan. They've got, you know, fantastic players, including Jameson Williams and Bryce Young and others. Listen, I'm not saying Georgia's defense sucks. It's a really good defense. It's not the college version of the 85 Bears or whatever the Ravens defense was. Was that 01, 0, 2000, right around there?
Right. And plus the fact that, you know, Alabama, we think, we're not positive. We'll know here in, you know, an hour or two. But we think that Alabama will be the one seed and play Cincinnati. And Georgia, by the way, will have a tough matchup with Michigan. So the value, you know, looking at this, is probably for Alabama at +125, because number one, the fact that they just destroyed Georgia, and number two, they've got Cincinnati in the semifinal, whereas Georgia, to get to the championship game, has to play a Michigan team that's really hot right now.
Real quick, what do we think the spread will be for Ohio State, Utah?
So, and we're guessing at this because we don't know who's going to play and who's going to sit out this game. My initial thought, if everybody plays, I thought Ohio State maybe -6, -7, maybe, you know, about that. Look, Utah is really hot right now. They are motivated. They're excited to be in the Rose Bowl. Bowl game betting is all about motivation. So I'm going to say about -6 right now.
All right, sounds good. Up next is our Bud Light Picks, where Scotty, Bodie, and I pick all of the NFL games this week straight up. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
The offseason is a myth, serving you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to feed your sports addiction. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan, I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scotty Vegas. Scotty, if you would please tell the listeners about our Bud Light Picks contest. How can they sign up? What prizes can they win? And who was our winner last week?
Yeah, we had a dominant performance last week from Dan Foltz, who actually got 14 games right last week, which the next closest was 11 games Ooh. Right. So a 3-game win for Dan last week. He'll win the nice Bud Light weekly prize, which you can get in on at 971thefan.com. Get your NFL picks in today. We're competing for the season-long prize, which is the Bud Light Ultimate Fan Cave.
Love it. Get on 971thefan.com, 971thefan.com. Sign up for our Bud Light Picks contest. It is free and you can win cool prizes. That sounds like a good thing. Free, nothing to lose, everything to gain. All right. Now, Scotty, Bodie, and I are going to go game by game and pick the winners of all of the NFL games today and tomorrow. These are straight up. Scotty and I will give our five favorite bets to make against the spread in the final segment of the show around 10:50. All right, guys, let's start with the 1 o'clock games. We'll go around the horn here. Chargers at Bengals. Chargers at Bengals. Who you got, Scotty?
I'm going to go Bengals. I said take the points, take the +3. I think it's going to be a close game, but give me the Bengals to win it.
Yep, same here.
I've got the Bengals to win as well. Cardinals at Bears.
So Cardinals on the road this season, 6-0 straight up. I think it continues. I think it gets to 7-0. Give me the Cardinals.
Yep, I believe Murray and Hopkins are both supposed to be back today for Arizona, so I will take the Cardinals as well.
Yeah, and I have both those guys in our 97.1 The Fan League.
Ooh.
Coincidentally, since they've been out, my team hasn't been doing quite as well, so I'm glad they'll be back. Yeah, give me the Cardinals. I'm not sure about the point spread. We'll talk about that later. Cardinals are favored by 7.5. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of rust, but, you know, playing outdoors. But you mentioned their road record has been great, but we'll see. I might take the Bears to cover, but I'll take the Cardinals straight up. All right, next game, guys. Bucks at Falcons.
So Tom Brady is actually 9-0 against the Falcons. This is an easy one. Give me the Bucks.
Yep, same here.
I hear Tom Brady against the Falcons. I think of only one thing.
I know, right?
They're never going to live. It's one thing to lose a Super Bowl. The Falcons are never going to live that down. That game was in the bag, it looked like, until it wasn't. Yeah, give me the Bucks in that one. Vikings at Lions.
I've got the Vikings on the road. You know, they're giving 7 points. That's a lot of points, but straight up, I like the Vikings.
Yeah, I'll take Minnesota as well.
Yeah, give me the Vikings in that one as well. Giants at Dolphins.
I've got the Dolphins. I know Daniel Jones is out for the Giants. I think that's going to be tough for them to overcome.
Yeah, I like Miami as well. They've actually been playing a little bit better. I still don't think they're a great team, but almost creeping back to 500 there. I'll take Miami.
Yeah, and Dolphins favored by 6.5. You know you're bad when, like, you don't have Daniel Jones, and then you're like, oh, man, now we really don't have a chance. It's like, guys, how bad are you? Very, 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 very bad. But I was wrong about one thing. I remember thinking they should have taken Dwayne Haskins. Daniel Jones might not be good, but he's on a team. I guess Haskins is on. Is he on the practice squad for the Steelers? I mean, Daniel Jones is a starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, man, I was wrong about that. I thought the Giants should take Haskins. Never saw that coming with Haskins. Give me the Dolphins at home. Eagles at Jets.
I'm going to go Eagles. The Jets are awful. Give me the Eagles on the road.
I am going to take the Jets. I don't feel great about it, but I think Hurts is out today, if I'm not mistaken. Now, Minshew's not actually a bad option as a backup quarterback, but I'll take New York.
Man. Give me the Eagles. I mean, that's going to be a terrible game. Give me the Eagles. I think the Eagles are favored by 4.5. Yeah, and if they haven't ruled Hurts out, I'll have to look. He's at least going to be hobbled. I know I benched him, and I have a league where I have Hurts and Cousins. I'm starting Cousins. That was even before, you know, if Hurts has been ruled out, I need to check that. But I'm starting Cousins over Hurts, even if Hurts plays, because he's got a bum ankle, and his big thing is running. All right, Colts at Texans.
I've got the Texans big, or I'm sorry, I've got the Colts big over the Texans today. And I mentioned this. I like
hot
the Colts.
Takes and sausage.
I'll tell you, I like the Colts as far as the Super Bowl value at 40-1. And I think, you know, a big reason why is they're going to get it together with an easier schedule down the stretch.
Yeah, I got the Colts today, too.
Scotty's the ultimate Colts fan this year, isn't he? Scott's not a fan. He's like, whoever's going to make me money is who I'm a fan of.
That's right.
Yeah, give me the Colts. Give me the Colts at the Texans. All right, 4 o'clock games. We got four of them. Let's start with the big one. Ravens at Steelers. Can the Steelers save their season with the win today?
Maybe there's that little extra motivation, Ben, the word leaking out that he's done this year. I don't think so. I think the Ravens still win.
Yep, same here.
This is going to be weird rooting for the Steelers today, but I'll be rooting for the Steelers today, but I don't think they're going to get it done. Give me the Ravens straight up there. All right, Washington at the Raiders. Raiders favored by 1.5.
Total coin flip. No feeling one way or the other on this game. So I'm going to go Washington.
I totally agree with you there, Scotty, except for I'm going to take Vegas. No idea. Total coin flip. I'll take the home team, I guess.
Yeah. Give me the Raiders just because they're playing at home. Washington has been playing well. I don't know if they've been playing well. They've been winning some games. Yeah. They've been playing not as bad as their opponent. Urban Meyer and the Jags at the Rams. Ooh.
Rams struggling lately. Can Urban get them? No, he can't. Give me the Rams.
Yeah, I think the Rams are on a 3-game losing streak, if I'm not mistaken, but I think that ends today at home against Jacksonville.
Yeah, not a good time to play the Rams. They're better than how they've played the last 3 weeks. They're going to be hungry. They're playing at home, and they're playing against a bad team. Give me the Rams big in that one. Final 4 o'clock game, 49ers at Seahawks.
The Seattle offense has been so bad. I think they're going to get it together a little bit today, but I still don't think that's going to be enough to beat the 49ers.
Yep. I think San Francisco on the opposite end of the Rams spectrum, they're on a 3-game winning streak, if I'm not mistaken. So I think they make it 4 today.
Yeah. Give me the 49ers, as tough as it is to play in Seattle. 12th man. Give me the 49ers. All right, Sunday night, Broncos at Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going the Chiefs at home. They're giving 9. Not only do I like them to win, I like them to cover this week.
Yeah, Kansas City, kind of ugly through September and October. They've seemed to kind of figure things out a little bit as of late, and I think they win tonight.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs. I'm frankly surprised the Broncos have as good of a record as they do. Not that they have a great record. What are they, 6-5? Still, I didn't think they'd be that good. I like the Chiefs a lot today. Tonight at home, give me the Chiefs. All right, the Monday night game. This will be a great one. At least it's a great matchup on paper. Patriots at Bills. Who you got, Scotty?
Can't wait for this one. We could get some bad weather. Give me the Patriots on the road.
I'm going to take New England on the road, too. They've been playing really well lately. And Buffalo, they're 7-4. They're not like, they don't have a bad record or anything, but they've just been kind of a weird team this year. They'll get beat by bad teams, and the next week they'll blow out a bad team, but I'll take New England in this one.
Yeah, I mean, New England's underdog. Bills are favored by 3. I'm taking the Patriots straight up, though. I'm taking the Patriots straight up, and I think I might have just given away one of my best bets at the end of the show here. On the Money is sponsored by Mobile Center, taking care of all your cellular needs. Mobile Center is now part of the 5G T-Mobile network. And Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Joining us now on the Money is Moneyline Mark. And Mark, I think the last time I talked to you, my words were, I'm about to run on this court. You coming with me?
Yeah, what a great game against Duke. Great victory for the Buckeyes.
Oh, so much fun. And you and I were enjoying that from basically courtside. So much fun. All right. You are the expert when it comes to the underdog in the NFL. What three picks do you have for us this week?
All right, Scotty, super excited today. A lot of good upsets, I think, or potential upsets. But my three favorites are Chargers over the Bengals, Washington football team over the Raiders, and then on Monday night, Pats over the Bills.
Ooh, okay, I like those. I really like the Patriots over the Bills. Could be some bad weather Monday night as well. And then today you got Bengals losing to the Chargers. I'm kind of with you on the Bengals, who, you know, are coming off the high of last week. Chargers coming off a low from last week. I could absolutely see it. So good picks this week. I like it. Moneyline Mark, we will catch you again next Sunday on the Money.
Thanks, Scotty.
Up next is our football quick hitters, which are five important questions about college or pro football that must be answered. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
Keeping you entertained with our vast selection of hot takes and play-by-play for over 25 years. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan, I am Dave Biddle. I'm joined by Scotty Vegas and producer Bodie Wells. It is time for our football quick hitters, which are five burning questions about college or pro football. Bodie, the floor is yours.
All right, guys, we've done it all season. Today is the day we will find out in about an hour and a half, give or take. Of course, ESPN loves to take their sweet time in revealing the Final Four. They'll give us 5 through 25 right away and then wait forever for the Final Four. But your guys' final predictions for the college football playoff.
First of all, we were originally scheduled to do today's show from Indy after Ohio State played in the Big Ten championship game like we did a couple years ago. Last year, because of COVID, we didn't do it. But 2 years ago, we were there, did the show. And at the time, we were doing the show from 11 to 1. So we're there thinking, even though they didn't look good against Wisconsin, is Ohio State going to get the number one seed? But they fell from 1 to 2, and LSU got the number one seed. Okay, to me, this is pretty clear cut, guys. I think it's going to be Bama, Michigan, Georgia, and Cincinnati in that order. I don't think the committee wants to set up a Georgia-Alabama rematch in the semifinals. Yeah, you can make your argument that Michigan should jump Bama, but here's the thing. Bama was ranked third, and Michigan was ranked second going into yesterday. Bama beat the number one team in the nation, and Michigan beat the number 13 team in the nation. They both dominated. Which win was more impressive? By the committee's own standards, I think beating the number one team in the country is more impressive than beating the number 13 team, so I think the committee will jump Bama over Michigan. Bama, Michigan, Georgia, Cincinnati.
Absolutely agree. Same order. The only thing I'll add is I think, you know, probably that Georgia-Michigan game will be in the Orange Bowl. And I think the Cincinnati-Alabama game would probably be in the Cotton Bowl. So same four teams, same order. Unfortunately, I was hoping for more excitement today. Not knowing, you know, if Oklahoma State would have won, that would have made things interesting. But no, I think that's the four.
Yeah, totally agree with you guys. Same order and everything. Question number two, if a team loses its conference championship game, should they be dismissed? Should they be out of the Final Four?
No, because I think you can go 12-0, lose a close game in the conference championship game, and you're sitting there at 12-1, and you're still better than a lot of teams that maybe are in the mix with you. So I'll say no.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's it goes year by year, right? We're going to have different situations every single year. You know, in this case, if you're taking just conference champions and you're throwing out Georgia, then you're throwing Baylor in above Georgia, which I just don't see.
Or Notre Dame.
Well, Notre Dame would never get in because those idiots don't join a conference.
Yeah, I disagree with that part, but I do agree with you guys. I saw some people saying it yesterday because it's like, well, it should be almost like a quarterfinal, I guess, in a way. And if you lose, you should be out because you basically lost to a playoff team. But I'm with you guys. I don't think Georgia, I don't think you should ignore the first 12 games to just then put in teams that only went on a conference championship weekend yesterday. Question number three, out of the four head new coaches at the bigger schools. So I'm going to count Oklahoma because the Brett Venables thing seems to be definitely happening at some point here the next couple days. So we'll go Venables at Oklahoma, Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame, Lincoln Riley at USC, or Brian Kelly at LSU. Which has the most success next season?
I think Brian Kelly's Southern accent is clearly the answer there. No, I'm going to go Lincoln Riley. I think, especially you go out there to USC, talk about a sleeping giant. Man, all you got to do is keep Southern California kids home, and you're going to win there. And you're playing in the Pac-12, which, breaking news, is not good at football. Maybe I should wait till after the Rose Bowl to say that Utah's looking pretty good right now. But I like Lincoln Riley to USC a lot.
Yeah, that one to me was the grand slam. Right. So Lincoln Riley was a grand slam for USC. I still, you know, I think Brian Kelly to LSU going to be very good. I think Billy Napier to Florida, a really good hire. And really, I think Notre Dame did the right thing in quickly hiring Marcus Freeman. So out of all those, I think the grand slam, though, is Lincoln Riley.
All right, question number four, switching over to the NFL here. Out of the team, we'll start in the AFC with this question, then we'll go to the NFC for the next question. Out of the teams currently in the playoffs, so I'll read through them real quick. You got Baltimore, New England, Tennessee, and Kansas City as the four division winners as of right now. And then the three wildcard teams are Cincinnati, Buffalo, and LA, the Chargers. Which team are you feeling least confident in right now?
Man, I'll say the Chargers, but that can change big time here in a few hours. Bengals Chargers have a big game. That could come down to, you know, a playoff spot right there. I'll say the Chargers, though.
Yeah, to me, it's the Titans, you know, and I know they're 8-4 and, you know, they've played well, but they have had so many injuries. I just don't know how they can sustain it. They didn't look good last week in losing the Patriots. So that's the team that I trust the least.
All right, switch over to the NFC. Got the top four teams as the division winners as of right now. Cardinals, Packers, Buccaneers, and Cowboys. And then the three wildcard teams right now are the Rams, 49ers, and the football team, Washington.
Washington.
Yeah.
And it irritates me that a team with a losing record can even make the playoffs in the NFL. I've said for years, I don't care if you win your division. If you have a losing record, you should not be eligible for the playoffs. What's so hard about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Washington, out of that list, definitely is, because I look at the first six, and, you know, the first six you named, Dallas, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Arizona, the Rams, I forget who the other team you said in there was, but those five teams, I think all could absolutely come out of the NFC. Washington, to me, is the one team that just doesn't fit.
Good stuff there, Bodie. All right, Scotty, let's get to matters of extreme importance. When are we going to have legalized sports gambling here in the great state of Ohio?
Well, I've got good news and bad news on that front.
Give me the bad news first.
The bad news is there's a decent chance now, the latest report, that actually when we're going to be able to place a bet might not be until as late as January 1st, 2023.
No. Why?
Yes, because they're idiots. Because they are so stupid. It's ridiculous. So it looks like they have agreed on principles and figured things out as far as how they want this to be run. And that is, there's a good chance that will be released this week, right? It sounds like there's an agreement, and now it's just going through the process of getting it done. But when they release that information, there's a quote out there that said it's going to take a while to get everything up and running. They want everything up and running at the same time, so no one has a head start over somebody else. And so, oh, it might take as long as. So that's kind of the end date. That's the date where it's like, okay, this is as late as it gets, is January 1st, 2023, which would be absolutely ridiculous. I'm hoping they come to their senses and they could maybe get this done before next football season, up and running, that is, but before next football season. But there is movement on this front. It looks like there's an agreement in place, and we will know more this week.
This is just mind-numbingly stupid. Yes. I mean, it's yes. Unbelievable, Ohio. What is wrong with these people? Okay, so let's do the checklist of border states. We don't have to go to all the states in the country. Just states that border Ohio that have legalized sports gambling. West Virginia. Congrats, Ohio. You're behind the times. Compared to West Virginia, ooh. Michigan, ugh. Indiana, Pennsylvania. The only one is Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good job. Good Dave, job, Ohio.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And the fact that it looks like they can finally get things worked out and figured out, and it's still, they think it's going to take a year to get it up and running. That is ridiculous.
I'm not joking when I say this. I don't think he would do it, but he did it for name, image, and likeness, and I didn't think he'd do it then either. When they were dragging their feet with the name, image, and likeness stuff, what happened? Governor DeWine stepped in and did an executive order, said, nope, I'm just going to pass this through now. He could do that, and he could do it not because he's a a huge fan of the show, which we know he is.
Yeah,
and he loves sports gambling, which I'm sure DeWines is dropping like Benjamins here and there on games all the time. To do it seriously for the betterment of the state, why are you letting the dollars leave the state? People are leaving the state to go gamble in other states, or they're gambling illegally online. You'd be making more money for the state of Ohio. He should sign an executive order.
Do it for the kids.
Do it
right?
for the kids. That's right.
This
do it for
money,
education.
This money is going to education. We need this money. We need it now.
Governor DeWine, get it done. Executive order. You did it with name, image, and likeness. Come on. But letting our dollars leave the state to neighboring states. It's ridiculous. All right, up next, it's Best Bets, where Scotty and I will give our five favorite bets to make today against the spread in the NFL. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
All sports, all the time, and whatever it is Common Man and T-Bone do, we still don't know. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scotty Vegas. Final segment of the show here. We appreciate you guys being with us. Right about now, it is time for Best Bets. Hit it, Bodie.
It's time for Biddle and Scotty Vegas to fight to the death. It's time for Best Bets.
Sponsored by Mobile Center, part of the 5GT mobile network.
This is where Scotty and I give our five favorite bets to make today or tomorrow night in the NFL against the spread. I was 3-2 last week. Scotty also played last week. Scotty was 1-4.
Oh.
Whatever. Yeah. You're going to bounce back. We were both 3-2 the previous week. You're going to bounce back this week. Scotty, what are your five best bets for this week?
I'm starting with Monday Night Football, and I'm taking the +3 with the Patriots. I like the Patriots on the road. They're playing great right now. They're winning games. They're covering games right now. So give me the Patriots at number one. Second, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Sunday Night Football, giving 9 against the Broncos. I just love how the Chiefs are playing right now, so give me the Chiefs. And then I'm going to take some points. I'm going to take a few underdogs here. I'm going to take the Steelers getting 4 against the Ravens. I just thought the Ravens last week did not look good. I think the Steelers at home, they're going to play better. Give me the Steelers. Next, I'm going to take... Boy, I'm going to hold my nose when I take this pick, but I'm going to take the Giants at +6.5 against the Dolphins today. I just think the Dolphins giving 6.5 points is a little bit too much. And then my fifth one, I am going to go with the team that I have been saying all show how I like their futures bets. I'm going to take the Colts at -10 over the Texans.
All right, there you have it. I'll say in advance, I'm not really confident about mine this week, but here we go. Number one, Bears. +7.5 against the Cardinals. We'll see. Maybe Murray and Hopkins will be a little rusty. They haven't played in a while. Bears playing at home. Andy Dalton getting the start again. Bears +7.5 is my first best bet. Number two, 49ers -3 at the Seahawks. Seems like dangerous territory to tread when you're betting against the Seahawks when they're at home and they're a home underdog. I'm going to do it anyway. Give me the 49ers in that one. I agree with you with the Patriots. I like that the Patriots at +3 at the Bills. Feels like a pick'em game to me. I get that it's tough to play in Buffalo. Bills Mafia is real. I just feel like the Patriots are, they've been playing like clearly the better team lately. Not just the better team, they've been clearly the better team. Doesn't mean they will be in this one, but give me the Patriots +3. Number four. What's my favorite psychology?
Reverse psychology.
That's right. Reverse psychology. Number four, Chargers +3 at the Bengals. Reverse psychology. Number five, give me the Raiders -1.5 against Washington again. You guys talked about this earlier. It feels like a coin flip game. I don't know. Give me the Raiders just because they're playing at home. And I do kind of like the Raiders defense. So there you go. Those are my five best bets. Scotty, where's your $100 bet going today?
So we have updated odds on the college football national championship, right? So the new odds are Alabama +125, Georgia +125, Michigan 7-1, Cincinnati 10-1. Those are your new odds. And my $100 is going to go on Alabama because Nick Saban will find a way. First off, I think they beat Cincinnati relatively easily, get to the national championship game, will play Georgia. And look, we just saw what Alabama's offense did to Georgia's great defense. So I'm going to say Alabama, $100 on them at +125.
I like it. I like it. All right, now we're going to find out officially today at 2:30, but seems pretty much locked in. Ohio State against Utah in the Rose Bowl. What do we think the betting line will be in that game?
And so much of it will be based on who's going to play in this game, who's not going to play in this game. And I'm telling you, bowl game betting, if it, you know, as far as when you're placing bets on bowl games, it's so much of it is about motivation and who wants to be there and who is excited to play in that bowl game. And I know that Utah, first ever Rose Bowl, this is a big deal to them. They're excited to be there. Will the Buckeyes be excited to be there? I hope so. I hope they will be. I hope there's a good chance. I would say if I were to place a line on this, a guess on the opening line, assuming everybody plays, which is probably a bad assumption, but assuming everybody plays, I think it's about a touchdown.
What if you assume Garrett Wilson's not going to play?
Then I think it comes down to 3 or 4.
And if people are wondering, am I just throwing that out there? No, we, as we said earlier in the show, if you missed it, hearing that Garrett Wilson has probably played his last game for the Buckeyes. Listen, if I'm Garrett Wilson, I'd probably do the same thing. You're locked in as a first-round pick. I have no doubt if they were in the playoffs, he would play. It's really a consolation game, but he's the only one I've heard so far.
Yeah, yeah, and hopefully, you know, I will hear from Ryan Day today at 3 o'clock. I'm excited to hear what he's going to say, specifically about the defense situation, and I know you will be the one asking that question.
Yeah, amongst others, I'm sure. Real quick, Ohio State hoops tonight, 7:30. Buckeyes by 5 at Penn State. You can hear the game right here on 97.1 The Fan. I thought the Buckeyes might be favored by more than that. Buckeyes only favored by 5 over the Nittany Lions.
Buckeyes playing so many close games this year. I think 5 makes sense.
Well, that is our show for today. We will be with you every Sunday from 9 until 11 a.m. talking fantasy football and sports gambling. For Scotty Vegas and producer Bodie Wells, I am Dave Biddle. Thanks again for making us a part of your Sunday morning. And enjoy the rest of your day. Up next here on The Fan is The Football Brunch with Chops and Eric Reeser. This has been On the Money, 97.1 The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets Hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.